This is Associations Thrive, the podcast celebrating successful associations and their leaders. I'm your host, Joanna Pineda, CEO and Chief Troublemaker at Matrix Group International. Normally, I interview an association or nonprofit CEO or executive director about their personal journey and the things that their organization is doing differently to thrive. Today's episode is a little different. I am back with some fellow association podcasters. We call ourselves DC's Podcast Angels. Now, DC stands for Dave Coryell because he brought us together. And I'll tell you, we have an active and hilarious WhatsApp chat going, and we record a joint episode every once in a while to check in, share what we're hearing and learning from our podcast guests, and just talk about life. Angels, welcome to the show. Introduce yourselves.
Yeah, I'll go first. I didn't know the angels were going public today. That was our little way of dealing with each other. Well, good to see you, angels. And I'm Dave Coryell, president of DelCorp. My podcast, Reboot IT, is a 501c specific IT conversation for all. And I've been doing it for 6-7 years and love it.
Hi, everybody. Ben Muscolino. I run Breezio, AMS Geek, Data Sangria, Vortacity, a few companies in the space. And I am one of the hosts of the Association Podcast, where we have people at every stage, inside or outside, related to the association market. We're very interested in telling people's stories and journeys through that. And it is a ton of fun. And I have the most incredible co-hosts, and we just have a great time with it. And I'm so happy to see you all today.
Oh. I'm Kiki Letellian. I spent the last 16 years leading association chat, and right now I'm on a sort of sabbatical, I guess, which has given me a little bit of space to reflect on what's next. And I guess the through line, my work's always been about trust, creativity, building community, and that's kind of the lens that I'll probably bring to our conversation today. So over to Dave Will.
DW.
Hey, so I'm super excited for the DC Angels movie that's going to come out in 2027.
Yeah.
And yes, I'm planting a seed here.
Do I get to use some kung fu?
Oh, yeah, you do.
Excellent.
My name is Dave Will. I'm a co-founder and CEO of a company called Prop Fuel Software Company, serving associations. And I am the co-host of the podcast Association Strong with Tom Morrison.
Guys, you know that my show is very buttoned up and I usually dive straight into the content. I don't do any chit-chat. I'm just like, tell me about your organization. But today I am taking a page from your podcast and I'm going to start with a social question because I want to know this about you all. My question is, what was your first concert and how did it shape you? Ben.
That's a really fun question because it didn't necessarily dictate all of the music that I've then consumed since then. But the first concert that I went to, my father brought me and I was really young and it was called the War Memorial in Rochester, New York, which is where I'm from. It's now the Blue Cross Arena, but it was Randy Travis, Trisha Yearwood and Reba McEntire. And to come full circle, I'm now a huge like country fan. I wasn't necessarily back then, but my dad was, and I listened to it with him. That was my first concert as a young guy.
Wow. DC, how about you?
I was in the opposite direction to Ben because I've been to the War Memorial many times as a child to see the circus, right? That was our big field trip from my small town USA upbringing. We went to the Broome County Arena, which is down at the southern end of the state in New York, and saw Loverboy, which some people might not even know who they were, because unless you grew up in the Northeast near the Canadian border, I'm not sure they made it beyond that regionally.
All I can picture is the album cover, man.
Yeah. The red leather pants, working for the weekend. Yeah.
Those leather red jeans, and man, what a took us on that guy, huh?
And it was the first time my parents let me kind of take a trip alone. I drove, you know, it was whatever. So I must have been 16 and went to a concert. It was a pretty buttoned up, I wouldn't say strict, but I was able to go to a concert on my own. So that was really cool. Ever since then, it's just been wildfire. I've been crazy.
How about Kiki?
Oh, man. My first concert was New Kids on the Block.
Oh.
Yeah. And KOTV. My friend was a mega fan and she dragged me along. It was a free ticket for me. Her mom bought it for us. And then she had the posters, she had the bedspread, she had all the merch. And in the meantime, around this time, I was like getting into watching Twin Peaks and stuff in middle school. So I remember standing there and I was like way too self-aware and felt really awkward. Like, I'm in, like, what am I doing here? And I was just kind of like watching the whole thing. And also, I just felt incredibly nerdy at that age. And like, I'm not going to pretend like, oh God, I love you so much in KOTB, because like, I think I was just had that outsider lens at the time. That's basically carried with me the whole way through.
So Kiki, do you still like boy bands?
No.
Okay.
No, we all did. That's not a thing.
No. Jackson 5, the Jackson 5.
Oh, man, I'm all about my Stray Kids and BTS. Dave, Will, how about you?
All right, so the short answer is yes. That was the band, and we're dating ourselves a little bit when you say things like that. But I'd rather answer a different question. See, that's what we do here as entrepreneurs, is we change, or politicians, you change the question, the one you want to answer. My first album, gift from my uncle, musician in New York, he always gave me records for Christmas. A lot of them are really eclectic, but my very first album, my vinyl, was Billy Joel, 52nd Street. And I will tell you that Billy Joel, to this day, has been, I don't want to say an influence of my life, but a major part of my life. It's been like a soundtrack to my life. Nothing more than I just enjoy the music. And he's been there for every stage of my life. And that's what's so cool about that music. And in fact, just even, I think it was like a week or two ago, I watched the Billy Joel documentary where he tells his story. I learned so much.
I'll tell you guys my story. Man, was it 1980 or 1981? There was a big concert in Oakland called Day on the Green, and my brother wanted to go. And my mom said, you can't go unless you bring your sister. So he brought me and my younger sister. We didn't know anybody playing. My brother did. But it was like all these new wave bands, A Flock of Seagulls, you know, that type of music. And then at the very end, it's getting really late. It's like 10:30, 11 o'clock. We don't know this headliner. And I say to my brother, should we go? It's getting really late. We have to get back on BART. And my brother's like, I don't know. Maybe we should say the police.
Oh, my God. Did you know who it was at the time?
No, I had no idea. I'm newly arrived in this country. And it shaped my listening for a long time. It really just opened up my horizons. And I thought, what is this music?
That's amazing.
I have another question for you guys that's sort of personal, too. What is a book or a podcast you read or listened to recently that kind of took your breath away and made you pause? Because I have a really good one here that I want to share with you guys, a book or a podcast.
Will you go first then? Give us a chance to think.
So I'll tell you, I just listened to an episode of the Hidden Brain podcast with Shankar Vedantam. And the title of the podcast is Change Your Story, Change Your Life. And he talks about how the story we have in our mind about how we view our life changes our life and our perspective. There was apparently some research that showed, you know, people who kind of were maybe in a bad physical state, they got better only after the story in their mind changed. It wasn't that they got better and the story changed. They changed their mental model of their life and then they started to get better. And he also says, where you start the story and where you end it really influences how you view the story of your life. And obviously, your life is going to be kind of a series of stories. But this episode, I've listened to it 3 times and I've shared it with everybody who'll listen, is such a powerful podcast. Change Your Story, Change Your Life on the Hidden Brain podcast. I'll put a link in the show notes.
I've got one. Honestly, I could probably list off like 10 of them. So this was one of many that take my breath away because I really, really enjoy podcasts. Books too, but it's just fewer and far between for me. I'm laughing because I know one person in this group is going to roll his eyes when I comment on it. It's that he's raising his hand and he nailed it. It's the telepathy tapes. And the telepathy tapes, I think it's fascinating, A, is it true or not? It raises that question in your head. Like, is this real? The telepathy tapes essentially is like this two season. I think there's like 10 episodes in each season. They're long. So that's like 20 hours of content where they're trying to prove that nonverbal autistic kids can communicate telepathically. But what I found interesting about this is they set the stage with what they claim to be the truth. And again, whether you believe it or not is another question. But that also adds to the stimulation of this podcast. You're questioning, is it true or not? And then I'm not a super spiritual person. And I think that's what I liked about this. It brought me into this spiritual world because it kind of sets this foundation of this universal consciousness type thing where there's a pool of everybody's thoughts that's kind of around us in the form of I don't even know how to explain it. I feel dumb even talking about it because I tend to be a logical thinker. But I liked stretching my mind to think about the possibilities of what if. That's what I enjoyed about it. Mr. Reboot IT over there.
What? My favorite new podcast is Debunking the Telepathy Files. You can find it. It's the number one podcast in Reddit thread that you can look at right now. So I'm going to jump in with a book, The Wager, about a English armada that was sent to intercept a Spanish armada in like the 1720s. And I won't go through the whole story. I'll just say it is a fascinating situation. And the reason it's super influential and takes your breath away is because the unbelievable odds, aside from the mission, not talking about that, the unbelievable odds of survival that these people went through and making their way shipwrecked off the coast of Brazil, off the coast of Patagonia, spoiler alert, back to England, some of them, blah, blah, blah. Just that. And I love the writer's writing style. I love beautiful sentences. I love the way they constructed the story. It's one of those books where they took things from logs, transcripts, court documents, newspaper articles, et cetera, to reconstruct as much as they could. Then they filled in the story with things that they know would have happened during that time period or to people in those situations. I hate reading one of those books because when you get 3/4 of the way, 80% through, you're like, crap, what am I going to read next that's going to compare to this? That's mine.
Love it. We'll put a link in the show notes. Kiki, how about you?
I actually have mine right here, The Annotated Alice, which is Alice in Wonderland and then Through the Looking Glass. And, you know, when I was younger, my mom was a teacher. So I get to look through her like teacher versions of the textbooks that she'd be teaching from. And I always kind of like to have the behind the scenes notes. Like I want to know where they're getting it from and like the additional stuff. And so the annotated, it goes into all the little things about Alice in Wonderland, what people have read into it and things about the author, Lewis Carroll and all of this stuff. I think that that's the thing that has sort of been inspiring me the most lately, just because you take something that everybody thinks that they know so well, and then you look at all of these different shades and flavors and ideas about it and come up with your own thoughts about what it's about. I think it's incredible that you can take one body of work and still get something fresh from it. After people have analyzed it, looked at it, created music videos based off of it and all kinds of stuff over the years.
I used to read a lot of fiction. And then about 15 years ago, I just stopped all of a sudden. And I told myself like reading business books was fun and hearing people's stories and all of that. So like early on, like authors like Ayn Rand, you know, and like cool things that are different. And then I started reading books about people, right? And how they built their businesses and stuff. And I've actually talked about this before, but it's the only one of the collection that I've read twice. So I'll mention this because I love it. It's Ben Horowitz, who now runs like a famous VC, A16Z, out in Silicon Valley. It's like one of the biggest like VC funds. And he writes this book about basically how he built this company up and then basically almost went bankrupt and spun this thing out and ended up selling it for billions of dollars. But he takes you on this ride, and there's one section in it that I love. And I just like, now I know where it is. But the second time I was reading it, I was like, I forgot where this section was in the book. I can't wait to get to it. And he describes this scenario where he basically had somebody in support and someone in product. and they were always at each other's throats and they couldn't get along. And it was always the other person's fault. And he called them into his office one day and he said, "Hey, guess what? You now have your job and you now have their job. And you both think you can do it better than the other person. Go back to work. Get out of my office. I'm done dealing with this."
Oh, fun.
And they did kind of ran this experiment for 6 months and called them back in and said, "All right, experiment over. You guys did an incredible job. Time to switch back. Thanks for being a good sport, everybody." And they looked at each other and him and said, "No, actually, we're good. I think we're actually in the role we're supposed to be in now." And it reminds me of this kind of difference between perception versus perspective, which works really well in business, but also in life, right? It's a reminder that sometimes my experience tells me that I know something and I'm really sure about it. And that's my perception of it, but it may not be like everyone's perspective. So yeah, I love that. It's called The Hard Thing About Hard Things.
Well, I want to follow up on that thread and something that Kiki said. So Kiki, you said it's really interesting how you can take something like Alice in Wonderland and take a fresh look at it. I was actually thinking as I'm looking at all of us here on the screen, we've been doing this a long time. We've been in the association space and I hear the energy in all of our voices and I want to know, how are you keeping it fresh?
Yeah.
Is there something that you do to stay interested and energized?
Yeah.
Because you can tell when someone's been at it for a long time and they're kind of just tired and they might still have a good business, but they're not radiating this energy. But I don't get that from you guys. So like, how are you keeping it fresh?
Well, for me, I'll say, I think I have to remind myself to slow down rather than speed up, because if I speed up a lot of things that I'm doing, it means that I am just knocking stuff out and away and not actually taking the time to be curious and like question and really look at things. And that's been the hardest thing for me. And it really is on like a daily basis to actually slow down and take the time to sometimes chew on an idea or to follow a question a little bit further than what I normally would, because the tendency is to just, is this going to help me immediately? No, okay, move on to the next thing. I think sometimes if you just take the time and sit with something a little bit, it sort of opens things up and takes you in new directions and allows you to see maybe some part of your brain that caused you to pay attention to it in the first place that would make you go down this path and uncover new connections.
I look at it from two perspectives. One is mental and physical energy. I'll start with the physical, actually, because I think it's very related to mental. One is exercise, one is sleep. And I exercise in the morning every day, and it starts my day the way it's supposed to for me. And sleep is equally important to exercise, if not more important. I find when I don't get enough sleep, it impacts certainly my energy level, but my mental capacity too. From a mental perspective, I think purpose, to put it in a simple word, and we all have our purpose. And I don't mean the existential, why am I here on earth? Although maybe that's a much harder purpose. I mean, like for me, I have this sole purpose of making PropFuel work, creating value through this thing that we've built through PropFuel. Like it's something I go to work every day to do to serve our clients better. And it's awesome. Like it's really, really cool to have that one thing to focus on above and beyond all else. And I'm not saying more than the family, more than health, but I'm talking like professionally speaking, that's my purpose. Specifically around pushing PropFuel. You could elevate it a little like to create greater human connectivity, but I'm talking about a tangible thing. My job is to drive PropFuel forward and it's fun. And then I also have this mantra, which crosses mental and work stuff. And it's just walk slow, smile more. You can see it on my wall there. Walk slow, smile more. It's something I've lived with for a long time. I was told once in a job that I was not very good at to walk faster and smile less because perception is reality. And I, over the years, learned that it's quite the opposite that works for me. Walk slow, smile more. And it's just another way of saying love the journey.
The purpose thing, Dave, I think some people have trouble maybe defining that in their life. I'll tell you, I love to learn. And when I worked at Vocus, I learned so much so fast about our business because I kept asking questions. I kept like scratching the surface because I was a sales guy. I was, you know, my first time using Salesforce, making 120 calls a day, cold calling. And it was like full cycle sales, small market. And then I closed a few associations. I left there. I ended up at an AMS company. And it was like, I knew I loved it. I wouldn't call it love at first sight because for me, it was work and I was a low man coming in, but I really fell hard for the idea of like just what a privilege it is to be on the for-profit side of the nonprofit market. And for me, I run, you know, ADD Incorporated over here, right? Like I've got these businesses because it's not about, for me, I always see something and I'm like, well, if somebody else isn't fixing that, like I should fix it. I'm also that pushy person that like, if I'm in a room and I feel like no one's running the room, I have trouble not just doing it. But I get energized every day because of the consulting business and the fact that we don't run what I would consider in the world like enterprise products, right? Where they're like $1 million projects that take years to close and years to implement. In most cases, it's a shorter sales cycle and you get to like find a problem, figure out how we fix it, and then figure out how we need to price that so everybody can win, the customer and us, and then execute and do it. And in a way, we're just running around helping solve problems. I have to keep the team's perspective too sometimes because they're just, you know, an engineer in a foxhole, like getting stuff done. And you remind them of these silly examples of an association. I'll use Academy of Pediatrics, for example, because I love their mission. They always say we're an association of physicians, but for children. That's the way that they describe it.
Love that.
Yeah, me too. But just the idea that like an engineer might spend 8 hours or 12 hours or 30 hours, like optimizing an integration or something like that, so that their physicians can gain access to research and catalogs and whatever it is that they need to assess, treat kids faster. And if you take that from, I'm just making this up, right? I'm not saying this in the case, but if you say, well, it takes 8 seconds to authenticate now, and they do that multiple times a day, and you bring it down to 3 seconds because maybe there's a bad API. Now I'm being a nerd, but like, if you can just cut that down a little bit, there's 20 million people under the age of 18 in this country that are being served by the Academy and the members of the Academy. And if you can shave that down, like the flow down effect of what we do to serve these associations and what it then means for their members to be able to consume faster, diagnose faster or better, the number of kids they might be able to see in a year because of the saved time that they wouldn't have before, just like those tiny itty bitty little things that we do, it's incredible. I always think about the downstream impact of what we do to make the world a better place. And the fact that we get to be on the for-profit side of it is like the coolest thing I could ever imagine doing.
How about DC? I'm
trying to figure out how to answer the question based on what I feel like and what I was listening to other people say, you guys say. And I think I'm just wired this way. Like that was my first instinct. I was like, I'm just wired this way. Like I'm wired in a way that keeps me interested, especially in our community. And that's really the thing for me is our community is so people, talking to people and trying to solve problems, all the stuff Ben just described, right? There's the underlying needs that Dave described about your physical and mental health and so on, but just people talking to them. And Joanna, you and I had lunch yesterday. Like I can do that all day, every day with somebody, just talking to them. And so that's how it stays energetic and fresh for me is just the people that are in our community. I feel like you get a chance to interact with them and find out, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing that? What's your objective? That's cool type of thing. Especially in the association nonprofit community, when you find out this association that's representing a profession or an interest that you never even heard of, right? Like, I remember the first time I heard about industrial hygienists, I'm like, what's that? Were they cleaning machines? I mean, seriously, right? I know the two words. But then when I found out about threshold limit values and standards and safety and noise and paint particles per million in the air and all this other, I was like, oh, that's a profession? That's really cool. And it's just that constant, what are you doing? That's going on in our community.
You know, Dave, it's interesting you say that because I was thinking about this. I clearly love the work and I love the staff and I love the projects. I realized really probably in the last few years that kind of what fills my cup is lunch with Dave, coffee with someone, no agenda, just a connection. I actually find that like lunch with an agenda is good. You get something done, but lunch without an agenda or coffee without an agenda adds enough joy or even a ton of joy that it just lightens my whole week. So that's why I do my lunches and coffees. Hey, speaking of, I want to dive into something else. Speaking of just seeing our impact and feeling really good about the impact and feeling connected to it, we all get to work with associations and their staff and their boards every day. What's something that you were part of or that you heard of or that you helped create that you're just really proud of in our space?
I'm going back to back.
Yeah, please.
I'll kick us off because for me, all right, this is self-centered. It wasn't part of it, but this is the IT maturity model for 501Cs that I feel like really has helped so many organizations align the technology itself, the plan for the technology itself, the governance of the technology and the leadership team. And the whole purpose of that model is to align all those things with the organization's mission and business objectives. And I won't go on because it's going to sound like a sales pitch, but I'm going to say the number of association executives, leaders, CEOs, CIOs who've come back to me and said, we followed it and we're in such a different place than we were 3 years ago at this point, makes me feel super proud of Delcor for embracing it and contributing to it and building it based on an idea I had in, I think, 2008. I have my day timer around here somewhere with the original sketch of it. I can't believe it was that long ago. Again, super self-centered. You ask what I'm proud of, that's what I'm proud of.
Dave, I'm going to double down on that. You and I have a bunch of clients in common, and they've gone through the assessment with you. And what they tell me is that the assessment gave them words to describe where they are, gave them a path, and showed them that it's a process. That something that was constraining, that they upgraded, that became enabling, maybe in a few years becomes constraining again if you're not paying attention. And so they felt like you gave them language and a process.
Very cool.
I'll jump in really fast. It's a self-serving answer. I think all of these have to be, right? But definitely association chat. I mean, I've had some time to reflect since stepping away from that. The number of people I've heard from and the stories that they tell, connecting them with jobs or connecting them with resources. And it's really something that I am proud of and will always be proud of and really filled the well for many, many years. So it's kind of a legacy, right? And I feel good about that time there and what happened with that and the ability to connect with so many people in so many different ways.
I'm going to do a couple quick ones. Do you remember Snowpocalypse?
It was the tech conference.
Tech conference, yeah.
So it was snowed out and it came in fast and it was a late cancellation and there were already hundreds of people in DC, but they canceled it as they should have. And a bunch of vendors got together and non-vendors, but it was mostly vendors got together and we put on, at the time, the Unconference was very popular and it was incredibly successful. I think we had like well over 500 people actively involved in the broadcast. And that was pretty cool. Video, it was awesome. I'm also proud of getting on the LMS bandwagon pretty early. In the first company I had was Peach New Media. I was doing this before I even knew what the word LMS meant. And before really it was a thing in the space. People are still using CDs and VCRs to do their learning. So it was really cool to be a part of the evolution of that part of our space. And then similarly, I really love what we're doing right now with what I call conversational engagement. I think it's cool. Nobody else is doing it. That's the purpose, I think, of entrepreneurs is to create new things and innovative ways of looking at things, especially in software. And so I'm very proud of that too.
I think for me, I'm just proud of the journey that I walked. I mean, I started out in sales, not realizing I would be in software, not realizing I would be in nonprofits. And then I did well, advanced in the companies I was in, and then decided I'm going to make a business and a life out of this. And I started a services company, and that didn't give me the feels that I needed. And I was able to evolve and know when it was time to move on to say, I like these micro moments of solving problems, but I also want to build something in this industry. And I never I'm not an engineer, right? So the idea of finding people to build trust with that you can build a tangible piece of software with and then turn into a SaaS CEO, I never would have thought I would be there many years before. And I think it all boils down to the network. It's funny for me to take over a company like Breezio, but I think in a lot of ways, what Kiki was able to do in helping people like define what does it mean to find your voice and share that with people and create community. And now I feel like in a lot of ways, I'm like a walking metaphor for what we do at Breezio. I'm like, I love everybody and I love what we do. And then connecting systems with one of my other companies. And yeah, I'm just really proud of like what everybody has shared and what I've been able to take in and do with that information along the way. It's just been quite a journey to look back on.
I'll say that recently, the projects that have been hard but really meaningful were the ones where we took some really gnarly, complicated process and changed it. You know, worked with the organization to develop some complicated workflow process. And the reason why I like it is because I'm really proud of the associations. Like, they kind of rolled up their sleeves and said, hey, this is the process. Like, we upgraded the clerkship application process for the American Colleges of Podiatric Medicine. This thing was old software, but super, super important because it's how the students get their clerkships. And so we had to upgrade the experience for the schools as well as for the students. And it was a collaborative process over like 11 months to really kind of dive into all the journeys, you know, about me and the journeys. And that was just really cool. We've done that for a couple other organizations. There's a union organization that we work with where the employers have to report work hours. And from those work hours, depending on the type of work, there are these like complicated formulas for how much dues you're going to pay. And it was like, you guys, this stuff was coming in via fax, via paper, via email, and it had to go into the system. And we said, you know, let's see if we can completely rethink this process. Man, do I love those projects. And I feel like the organizations, if they engage, end up different. Okay, so I know that we've got a time limit. So I'm going to give each of us 1 minute. What are you working on right now? And what do you wish you were working on? DC.
Oh, geez, what am I working on? I'm working on a lot. We covered in a different podcast with Delcor's been through in the last 6 months. Losing Loretta. So there's a lot of things being worked on. And I wish this is what I was working on. Not that we lost Loretta. Obviously, I don't wish I was working on it for that reason, but I'm so invested in getting this right because of that legacy.
I want to piggyback on something that Dave said, because I like to talk about Loretta every chance I get. I just remember being like a young gun at a Vectra showing up at a conference, and I may have told some of you this story, but I kind of didn't know her that well, but I knew who she was. And so I was like this young junior sales guy, and I was like, we're the best at the company that I work at, right? Because I was like a sales guy, just like at the conference. And she kind of acknowledged, she didn't literally do it, but it was kind of the tap on the head, like, oh, you know, you're so cute.
Cute little Ben.
Yeah, right. With very few words, she basically acknowledged my enthusiasm for being in the industry. And she was like, I can tell you love this. And she said, just make sure you do a very good job if you're going to do this, because this industry has a way of letting you know if you're not. So I think about that. And more recently, what I'm working on, without mentioning any of my companies, I'm really working on myself right now. I'm trying to be a better leader. I'm trying to figure out how I slow down. I don't know what this exercise and sleep thing is that Dave Will does, but I'm trying to find that, right? I'm trying to find some of those things, because as my businesses have all somehow started to become like successful all at the same time, I'm realizing that I've got to do a better job of being a steward of those things and all the customers we represent. So I'm working on myself right now. And I think that's like the most important thing that I've started to realize over the last couple of years.
Awesome answer. Big reveal for me, because I haven't actually said this out loud in front of many people, then this is a worky sort of thing. We are completely redefining what it is Propule is all about. And we're doing this because we are acknowledging how important AI is to work. I mean, it's basically just another word for software now. So we're envisioning what is AI for membership and what does that mean for our clients and our future clients. So what I'm working on right now is a product vision for what we're calling membership AI, the assistant for membership teams. And I'm super excited about. This is the kind of thing that happens really fast too. Like we've been working on this for about a month, month and a half maybe, and talking to clients about it. We'll have something in Q4 to play with. And starting in January, I think we'll be completely live with this thing. So I'm super, super pumped up about membership AI. What do I wish I was working on? God, maybe I wish I was working on myself. I like that answer, Ben, working on myself.
I'm just trying to figure out what I want next to look like. You know, I found myself in a very unusual place, rare. Several things have ended at the same time, things that have made my day-to-day, one of them a project for 16 years. So I'm in an unusual spot where I'm at a point in my career and my life where I get to choose what the next bit looks like. And I have a lot of different options, you know, like I have a lot of different ways that that could go. And just nailing down what makes the most sense and what ends up feeling like it's just the right direction to go. And of course, one of the things I've learned along the way is that it's not just about me. It's about my relationship with other people too. So I'm in this really interesting spot that I don't want to rush through because it's special. And I know it's special that I have a chance to make a decision on what it looks like after this. Again, I'm trying really hard to slow down instead of speed up, which is opposite of how I spent probably the first part of my life. It's just like, how fast can I go? Now I'm like, okay, before I jump too quickly, let me take my time to let this develop the way it needs to and honor that.
Kiki, whenever you're ready, let's all come back together and hear about the next.
Yeah, let's please. And get together maybe in person, right?
That's going to be the next Collabicast. Absolutely.
A launch party.
Yeah.
She's had a bunch of reinventions. I mean, at this age, right? We've all had it. So I'll tell you what I'm working on, you know, some projects with some clients. I'm always working on proposals. The thing that I wish I was working on more was the book. And so I have got to carve out some time to really work on the book. And I told my team, I'm thinking of just taking a few days off here and there to just focus on the book. I know we have to run. Dave will close us out with a dad joke. You will never hear me again say this, but this time I'm giving you a chance.
Oh, man.
He's speechless.
No way. You got him. You got him.
What's a priest's favorite kitchen appliance? It's a deep fryer.
Oh, yikes.
Okay. Dave, say goodbye to the angels. You close us out.
Goodbye, angels. I love seeing you in 2D. I'd rather see you in 3D. You know, we just saw each other all at annual, and that was such a treat. Unfortunately, we are geographically dispersed, at least most of us.
Let's make it happen. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
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 Thanks for listening to Associations Thrive. We're so glad to have you here. You know, my personal mission and the mission of my company, Matrix Group International, is to help associations and nonprofits increase membership, generate revenue, and thrive in the digital space. I want to hear stories of how your organization is thriving in today's challenging landscape. Please apply to be on my show by going to podcast.matrixgroup.net. By the way, do you need help with a digital initiative? Maybe it's a website redesign, a new membership database, or a hybrid meeting that you're planning. I'd love to connect with you. Please visit the Matrix Group website at matrixgroup.net. Thanks again for listening to this week's episode of Associations Thrive. Don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a 5-star rating, post a comment, and share it with your colleagues and friends.